Our call to worship this morning is by the Reverend Krista Taves. Whether you have come here with heart full or heart empty, with spirit high or low, rested or tired, hopeful or despairing, whether you have come here out of habit or conviction or loneliness or curiosity, all that you have and all that you are welcome here. We light the flame of our chalice to remind us that the beating heart of our faith is community.
At this time, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do a meditation. And for those of you that don't know what a meditation is, it's when you're really, really quiet and you close your eyes and you see pictures. Sometimes meditation is just breathing. Today we're going to do a meditation that's called a moving meditation, but you're going to keep your eyes shut while you do this. And we're going to think about ourselves and envision trees. So I want you all to just move your body a little bit, get really comfortable, but then I'm going to ask you to stand up. So listen for when you have to stand. So everyone needs, other than me, everyone needs to have their eyes closed. All right, today we're going to imagine that we are trees in a forest. Close your eyes and see all the different kinds of trees that are surrounding you. See their shapes, their leaves, their colors. Imagine the type of tree that you want to be and stand and begin to find your roots in the floor while standing up tall. So please stand. Continue to see the picture of the tree that you are. Imagine that your tree is becoming strong and tall, starting from your feet. Feel them become like the roots of a tree, connected strong to the floor and to the earth. As you feel your feet planted deeply to the ground, imagine that you are growing taller and stronger, way up into the sky. Move your attention from your feet, up through your legs, and into your arms. Notice how your body is feeling along the way. Once you get up to your arms, imagine that they are like branches spreading wide as you grow taller. Feel free to gently spread your arms and make them become branches that connect to the other trees in the forest. This part of the tree is called the canopy. It is the part where all the branches connect and animals make homes in them. Beautiful things can grow in the canopy when the trees in the forest are all connected. In your minds, imagine the animals that might live in your forest canopy. Maybe butterflies are on your branches, or baby birds, maybe lizards. Imagine all the animals that are living in your canopy. See them and yourself in the canopy, safe from harm, protected. See their colors, listen to their sounds. Now begin to leave the canopy by traveling further up your tree, moving your attention up out of your branch arms and to the top of your head. Travel in your minds all the way to the very top of your tree, beyond any branches. Take a moment here to see whatever you would like to see. See what your forest looks like. Is your forest tropical and in the jungle or the rainforest with lots of colors and noise? Or is your tree surrounded by mountains? Or is your tree circled by acres of other forests? Now see the sun dimming as the day ends, the sky and the colors turn pink and orange. The colors begin to turn to night. You feel yourself leaving your tree that you have created in the forest. Your feet become light as they're no longer rooted. Your legs, your stomach, your arms are all free and relaxed. And finally, when you are ready, filled with the peace and the strength of your tree, you can open your eyes and become one with the others here in church today.
That place is called Thunder Ridge. It's in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. That video was taken on a cold November day when I was visiting one of my very, very favorite places. If you look out over that rock ledge that you saw in the video, you're looking across the Shenandoah Valley toward the Appalachian Mountains on the far side. You're looking toward the west. Whenever I'm there, and I must have been there hundreds of times, it is as if the trees are holding me. They are stubborn. They are gnarled. They are strong and steady. And sometimes, on a windy day, it's almost as if we stand there, me and the trees, and it's like we're breathing together. That sound, that rustling kind of rumpled sound that you heard was the sound of the wind on Thunder Ridge that day. And one of the things about, well, those trees, but even these out here and even the trees that are waiting for us in Fellowship Hall, is that just like we do, trees breathe. The difference is that they breathe sort of opposite to people and animals. It's when we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, trees, through their leaves and these little tiny things called somata, they breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. We need each other to keep going. One without the other, not so good. So I want to ask you to help me get a little bit of a feel for how this relationship works. So I'd like for everybody on this side, you're going to be people. Easy for you to do, right? You look kind of like people already. And everybody on this side, you're going to have to use your imagination again, just like Michelle was inviting us. You are going to be trees. And here's the way the breathing works. People, when you breathe in, deep breath in, trees, you breathe out. And trees, when you breathe in, people, you breathe out. And people breathe in, and trees breathe out. And trees breathe in, and people breathe out. If we were missing, or if we were missing, it would be very hard to take that whole, full breath of life. We need trees. And I would like to think if they had hearts, those trees could be glad of us at least from time to time when we remember how important they really are to our well-being. So one more time, people, breathe in, trees breathe out. Trees breathe in, people breathe out. The story I have for you is from the Ute people. The Ute now make their home in the state that bears their name, in the state of Utah. Their homelands are in what we now know as Colorado, and this is the story of how they began. A long, long, long time ago, there was a journey to be made. And on this journey, it would go from south to north, and Wolf, who was the one to make the journey, had a plan, but he would not tell anybody about it. So he got ready. He made a sack. He made a bag. And he fixed it so he could carry it on his back as he made this journey. But Wolf was not telling anyone exactly what was going to happen. So he set about what he needed to do. And off to the side, Wolf's brother Coyote was watching. And he was really puzzled. He could not figure out what Wolf was up to, because he saw Wolf going to trees, tree by tree. And Wolf would break off a twig and put it in this little bag. And he would break more, and then he would break some of the twigs into smaller pieces, and he put them in the bag. Well, Coyote was just puzzled. He just could not figure out what Wolf had in mind. So he watched. And then one day, when Wolf decided to take a break from his gathering and he went off for a walk on his own, Coyote moved in close to where Wolf had left that little bag. And he got really close to it. And he thought he heard talking in the bag. And then he leaned in a little bit more, and then he was quite sure that he heard music in the bag. Well, he tried to figure out what in the world might be going on, but he just could not understand. So finally, in a fit of enormous curiosity, Coyote took out his flint knife and he cut a little hole in the bag that Wolf had made. And he bent down and he looked inside the hole. Do you have any idea what he saw? What? Well, that's what he thought he would see. But when he looked inside that little hole, he saw people. The twigs had turned into people, and they looked back out of the bag at him. Well, he was startled beyond belief, and while he was startled by what he had seen, some of these people ran out of the bag. They jumped out the hole and they ran away. Well, Coyote just, he didn't know what to do, so he left the bag and he walked away, and Wolf came back, and he had no idea what had just happened. So Wolf picked up his bag and he put it over his shoulders so he could make his journey, and off he went. Now, what Wolf had never told anyone was that the plan for this journey was that from time to time, he would stop and open the bag, he would reach in and let a few people out in the very exact place where they were supposed to live. And when he let them out into that place, he would say to them, "Here is your home. This is where you are meant to be." And then he would close up the sack and keep going. Well, after he had let a few little groups of people out in different places, he thought, "This bag is getting really light. I don't think I've let that many people out yet." So he kept going and he kept kind of worrying about how light this bag felt. And finally, when Wolf got way up, way high in the mountains, and he took the bag off and put it down, he realized that Coyote had cut a tiny hole and some people had gotten out on their own. You know how we are, right? We people. Well, Wolf was undeterred because there were still some people in the bag. Some of those twigs that had turned to people were still there. And so he carefully allowed them out. He took them out and he put them on this high mountain. And when he took those last people out of his bag, he said to them, "You are my people. You are the Ute. And this is your place here on this high mountain." To this day, The Ute hold trees as sacred and call them their ancestors. And this is the reason why. Because Wolf helped create people out of the branches of trees. Trees are sacred. They are our ancestors. To this day, if you make a journey to the land of the Ute in Colorado, you can find some of the sacred trees that they hold so close. There are medicine trees that will look like this, a pine tree with a great scar where bark has been removed. I'm sorry, choir. I got to figure out a better way. Would you all like to move so you can see? Are you okay? Move if you wish, anytime. So when they find a medicine tree and there is a need for healing among the people, they will scrape the bark off and they will gather some of the resin in the tree. It is the resin that is holy and has healing power, and they use it to start a fire and begin the ritual of healing. So they have medicine trees. Come in all shapes and sizes. They also have prayer trees. Prayer trees are made when they are on a ceremony journey. And the elders will take a small sapling and use yucca rope to tie it at an angle so that it grows 90 degrees out this way and then a 90 degree turn up that way toward the heavens. The 90 degree angle out always points to the holy mountain, and the tree pointing up points to the sky. When they've tied the tree and the tree is ready, the people on the journey will gather round and they say their prayers as they surround the tree. It's said that the Ute believe that these prayer trees will hold their prayers for 800 years. And every time the breeze blows through the tree, that prayer is revived and spread once more over the land. Medicine trees, prayer trees, and they also have message trees. They're hard to read, but they tell stories. Usually there are pictures or symbols carved. It's a little hard to see in here. There is one tree that actually has become quite well known beyond the Ute themselves because it tells the story of when a hunting ground was burned, and it lets the rest of the Ute nation who passes that way know that the band who lived there has had to move on. Trees, they breathe with us. They are a source for us. They carry medicine. They carry prayers. And among the Ute, they also carry messages and tell stories. The hymn we are about to sing is called Vine and Fig Tree. It, too, tells a story through the symbol of trees. Choir, would you please help all of us sing Vine and Fig Tree?
Guar's pitching in a lot today, is going to help me tell our final story. One of the things that about trees are, do you know how long, actually, I don't actually know the answer to this, so I'm legitimately asking. Does anyone know how long trees can live for? What? Yes, but in, like, obviously, but how old can the oldest tree be? Okay, was it thousands? Because the book that I referenced was hundreds, and I wasn't sure if that was accurate.
Well,
so, all right. Okay. So I want you to imagine a tree that has lived longer than you, longer than your parents, longer than your great, 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 great grandparents. That's really old. And there are trees that make up forests called ancient forests. And one of the things that is so important to us as Unitarian Universalists is that we recognize and realize that we are connected to the earth. We are connected to the trees and to the things that make up the earth. Now, what does a tree need to survive, do you think?
Water.
What else? Sun. Soil. All of those things don't come on their own. There are animals and bugs and plants that live in the forest that feed the forest. And it's all very interconnected. And our choir, they may look like a choir right now, but they are really voles and mice and truffles, which are like little, I think, mushrooms. They are, some of them are owlets, some of them are owls, some of them are actually a tree. And they're going to help me read, and a woodpecker as well. They're going to help me read the story, but I also need your help. So the word nourish means to feed. So we're going to say this line. Every time I held my hand up, you're going to say, to nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest. To nourish the ancient tree, to nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest. Okay, so we're going to start. This is the ancient forest. This is the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
These are the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
These are the tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
These are the voles and the mice that tunnel.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
This is the owl that flies at night.
That hunts the voles and mice that tunnel.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
These are the sleeping owlets that are fed by the owl that flies at night,
that hunts the voles and mice that tunnel.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
This is a hollow in the tree.
Home of the sleepy owlets. They're fed by the owl that flies at night.
That hunts the voles and mice that come.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
This is the woodpecker searching for ants that started the hollow in the tree.
Home of the sleepy owlets. They're fed by the owl that flies at night,
that hunts the vole and mice that come.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
This is the saucy, chattering squirrel.
That's the gold.
Home of the sleepy owlets, fed by the owl that flies at night.
That ants to balls and mice to tunnels.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
This is the hungry, stealthy marten that stalks the saucy, chattering squirrel.
That scolds the woodpecker, searching for ants, that startled the hollow in the tree.
Calling the sleepy owlets, they're fed by the owl that flies at night.
That hunts the voles and mice that tunnel.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest.
These are the first voles that fall from the branch.
And startles the hungry, stealthy marten that stalks the saucy, chattering squirrel.
That scolds the woodpecker, searching for ants, that started a hollow in the tree.
Home of the sleepy owlets that are fed by the owl that flies at
night. And hunts the voles and mice that tunnel.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 300-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest. This is the 300-year-old tree
that grows from bird cones that fall from the branch.
And startled the hungry, stealthy marten that stalks the saucy, chattering squirrel.
That scolds the woodpecker searching for ants that started the hollow in the tree.
Home of the sleepy owlets that are fed by the owl that flies at night.
And hunts the voles and mice that tunnel.
And eat tiny underground truffles that grow on the roots that draw food from the soil.
To nourish the 100-year-old tree that grows in the ancient forest. All of that happens daily, you know, on a different level and in different animals in all of our woods throughout the world. It's just a really amazing thing when you think about it, how interconnected everything is. And without, like Tracy was saying, without the breath of people and trees and plants, we would not all be connected. The same with all of the other creatures that live in our trees and nourished from our trees.
Luke, would you like to join me to make the announcement? In just a moment, following Rick's announcement, we are going to be assisted by John Denver in singing Inch by Inch. And I am going to need a couple of helpers up here when we start singing. So if any of you feel so inclined to come plant a tree with me, I hope you'll come on up.
So after the service, as we end, everybody is invited over to Fellowship Hall, as always, to have coffee and talk with one another, but also to help planting trees. We have pots, trowels, and dirt all ready. It only takes a few minutes to plant a tree. We have 100 Japanese maples to plant. Planting trees today will only take you a few minutes while you have your coffee. Members of the Climate Change Task Force will store the potted trees until Earth Day, April 22nd. On that day, we will bring them back so each family and each child gets a tree to take home and plant. Between now and Earth Day, you can be thinking of where to plant your tree. In your yard, perhaps, or in some friend's yard or a relative's yard. Anywhere that you can go visit the tree to water it and see it grow through the years, watch it breathe in and breathe out.
Inch by inch, row by row, pot by pot, and tree by tree, there's stuff for us to do while we're drinking our coffee today. We're going to sing our benediction, and then we're going to go plant some trees.